this example.
It's going to have multiple covariates, but it's also going to look at what happens when you want to use a categorical variable as a covariate. See, SPSS doesn't really sort things into IVs and covariates. It sorts things into fixed factors means categorical variables. Whether to you they're an IV or a covariate, they go there. And covariates, which is where quantitative variables, whether to you they're an IV or a covariate. So they really shouldn't be labeled fixed factors and covariates. They should be labeled categorical and quantitative. You have to keep sorted out what are your intentions. Because your intentions of which of those make up the factorial part of your design is going to have an influence on what interactions you want to include. Okay, so you got to sort through this. So what we wanted to do here is we wanted to compare men and women on depression. And we want to get that group difference. We find that the females have a higher average. That difference is statistically significant. And you should notice that the mean difference reflects in the regression weight. The comparison group coded 0 is the constant. The regression weight is the group difference. Same as when we were doing regression. Nothing's changed. It's all the same stuff. Now we're going to add in some covariates because there were some differences between the boys and the girls. There were differences in age. There were differences in loneliness. There were differences in social support. All of these are striking covariates because all of them are A, things where there are gender differences, and B, things that we know are related to depression. Those are your big candidates for covariates. Things that are related to the IV and things that are related to the DV are things that you might want to clean up your model, both the numerator and the denominator. Now we're also going to ask for the gender estimated marginal means, which means what is the mean for boys and the mean for girls holding age, loneliness, and social support constant at their group means. The descriptive statistics are exactly the same because they're uncorrected. The raw means don't change when we correct for things. I also got the descriptive statistics for age, loneliness, and social support to show you what the means and the standard deviations are so that you would notice that what SPSS automatically corrects for is the means. Just sort of a reminder of how things work. When we come over here, we see that we have age. When you correct for loneliness, social support, and gender, there's a relationship between age and depression. When you correct for age, social support, and gender, there's a relationship between loneliness and depression. When you correct for age, loneliness, and gender, there's no relationship between social support and depression. And, what we were here for, when you correct for age, loneliness, and social support, there is a difference between the genders. The females are even more depressed than the males than we thought. We thought the effect was about 1.8. The effect is really about 2.5. So when we correct, we find out that the corrected effect is in the same direction as the uncorrected effect, but larger. Then we decided that we wanted to control for marital status. Marital status is related to depression. It's also, in this sample, different for men and women. Now this gets a little bit more interesting. You have to be careful. You have to know what you're doing and do it properly so that you get what you want. Because as soon as I drop marital into that fixed factors box, it thinks I'm trying to run a factorial design looking at every combination of gender and marital and their interaction. And oh, by the way, I have these covariates. But that's not what we want. We want marital as a covariate. We want the main effect of marital put in, but we don't want the interaction. And so we have to go build our own model where we put in gender and we put in marital, but we don't put in their interaction. You with me? Because to us, we're not interested in this interaction. We're just interested in correcting gender for the main effect of marital status, not also for the interaction. So we've got four covariates. So we put into the model the five things we care about. No interactions at all in this particular model. So we're assuming a lot about homogeneity of regression. But this will get us the gender effect. Then I want to see what's the gender difference controlling for everything else, and I want to see what's the marital group difference controlling for everything else. The only thing we did here that's non-standard is we didn't let into the model the interaction between the two categorical variables, because one categorical variable to us is the IV, the other categorical variable to us is the covariate. It still gives you the cell means as if you were doing the factorial, which is fine. It gives you the ANOVA, and we can see that when you correct for everything else, there's a gender effect. When you correct for everything else, there's not a marital effect. There is an age and a loneliness, but not a social support effect. Now here's what we really came after. This right here. This is what we want. Because this is correcting the gender difference for marital status, which is in the model, age, loneliness, and total social support, and it tells us exactly what. Now this gives it to us for the average marital status. And we can see that there is an effect. Controlling for marital status did not make the gender depression effect go away.
Hey, Cal?
Yeah.
I'm confused. It doesn't say marital status is a covariate underneath that one.
Because what it's telling you there is not what the covariates are. It's telling you what the quantitative covariates are, just so it can tell you the value at which it compared.
Okay.
Because if we throw the interaction terms in, then it's going to automatically just give us what's going on in the middle of the table at the mean. But if you ask for something else in the E means, the EM means command, you know, by equal 10, equal 4, equal 6, then it wants to remind you what you asked it to control that for.
So because we have the second table, because
we know we put it into the model,
okay,
and it told us that it put it into the model, we know it's corrected for.
Okay.
The other way that you can tell is that it's different than before we put it in.
Okay.
That's how I checked. Okay, there we get 6.6 and 9.1. Here we get 6.5 and 9.0. So, great question. It just isn't set up for that question. But if we allowed the interaction in, it wouldn't change that result. It would now be controlling for marital status and for the interaction. It wouldn't tell us either. It's set up to just tell us the value of the quantitative variable that it controls at.
I guess this is actually kind of unrelated, but the ends are different between the categorical variables,
yeah,
right? And so, the standard deviation of the error could be different between those groups. I think I've asked you this.
Yeah, the way SPSS does it is that it calculates the mean square error for the model. And when it calculates the standard error for computing the T, it considers the sample size of the means being compared.
Okay.
So, the same mean difference may have a larger or smaller T depending upon the N involved.
Right.
So if you've got 100, 110, the T-test for comparing the two groups of 100 will use a smaller error term than comparing either of them with the 10.
Okay.
And some people like that. SPSS likes that because that was the truth in the middle 60s. The truth now is that we know it depends. And so you need to know what your kind does. Jeff Loftus did a lot of work in the late 70s and again in the early 90s and showed that if what you're trying to find is the best balance of type 1 error and type 2 error in research areas that tend to be underpowered, that uncorrected tests using full model error terms give you the best balance. But as a group, statisticians tend to be conservative rather than balanced. They would rather have a known bias than be less biased. And so that's why it's important to know what your kind does. And it's also important to be very explicit. In the handouts I've been cranking out this summer, you'll see that we go back through a lot of times and show you, okay, here's what you do if you get that full model error term using the LSD computators. And then this would be used to compare any cell means. And one of the reasons that's important is that sometimes you're working with non-adjacent cells. I mean, if I want to know whether this is different from that, they're non-adjacent because they're different by gender and status. And there's no easy way to get that to show up in an SPSS output. All right, well, that'll keep you out of trouble until Monday. And on Monday, what we're going to do is have this same conversation.